This is a whole different playing field. And again, the objective here is to require less of the very costly large phase 3 trials and putting all the emphasis on the preclinical and more pharmacologic demonstration that these are highly similar to the original. It doesn't stop there, though, Neil. The FDA policy criteria for biosimilars also has a criteria of extrapolation. And as you know, many drugs, particularly biologics, seek and get label approval for several different indications, either in different disease settings or different stage. And they do that by providing evidence from clinical trials, again, that it's safe and effective for that indication. Even some of the growth factors and supportive care agents have multiple indications that they've been given based on clinical trial data that they provided. Now the biosimilars come into our arena, and the FDA says, well, you need to demonstrate efficacy and safety for a primary indication, but if you do that, and we don't see any big issues in terms of immunogenicity, any red flags, we have the right to grant approval for the biosimilar for other indications that the reference biologic is approved for, but without needing to see any additional data. So they don't require any clinical data for these. They reserve the right not to grant extrapolation, but so far they've been doing that for the supportive care biosimilars that have come along. That's a foreign concept for all of us to have an extrapolated indication for which there's been no clinical evidence provided of safety and efficacy. Again, that's worked in Europe. And again, no red flags have come up. But I think there's a lot of skepticism in the U.S. There's all sorts of other issues coming down the pike we can talk about, like interchangeability and substitution and so forth. None are approved for those added level of approval yet, but you could see that coming as a marketing advantage if a company comes in and gets granted interchangeability. So there's a lot of foreign concepts here. On top of it, the labeling and naming of these agents, very unusual, you know, a random four-letter added nomenclature to the original name of the product, and it doesn't have any meaning to us. And you got to learn these if you want to prescribe a particular biosimilar. I understand these are important for tracking and a big part of this whole effort, which is post-marketing surveillance. When these are approved with much less supporting clinical evidence, I think we need to be very diligent, even after it enters the market, to be looking for rare or delayed toxicities that were not seen in the limited clinical trial data provided at the time of approval, any sign of immunogenicity. So tracking the use of these agents and the side effects of these agents in the post-marketing surveillance period will be at least as important, probably more important than we've seen for the more reference products, more traditional therapies.